So we, in this session, the idea is to think about the progress that we're making together, the opportunities that we have, the challenges that we're facing, both as a partnership and also thinking about some individual local church situations, just to earth that. So you may feel that you've heard enough of me already, but I'm afraid you'll need to bear with me for a little bit longer, because I'm going to kick off by just reflecting upon where we are as a gospel partnership. I was at a meeting in the autumn with guys from gospel partnerships around the country, and John Stevens gave us a very helpful analysis of the context that we face in the UK. And his summary points were that the gospel need in the UK is greater than it's ever been in the last 450 years. But also, to encourage us, that conservative evangelicalism is stronger than it's ever been in the last 50 years. And that one witness to the strength amongst us is the gospel partnerships, which have been springing up around the country and growing in strength and effectiveness. And I really do believe that is the Lord's doing. That's the work of the Spirit of God among us to bring us together in partnership for the sake of the gospel, that we might do more together than we're able to do individually. And so I hope that what we're doing, having surveyed some of the dry bones, is actually to, with a sense of thankfulness to God, just think about some of the strength that we have, as well as the challenges that are set before us. And recognizing in all the good things that we can talk of, it's evidence of the gracious hand of our God with us and upon us. Some of you have joined the partnership since 2011, so you might not be aware of the fact that back in 2011 we set 7 goals for the next 4 years. And I really just want to review where we are with respect to those goals, but also be thinking about how we move forward pursuit of those goals and maybe new goals that we need to form between us. Our first goal was to extend the partnership from around about the 40 churches that we had back then to 60 churches in year 4. Of course, these numbers tend to go up and down a little, but the position we're in now is there are 35 partner churches where the whole church has joined into the partnership, and another 30 individual partners, individuals who are members of the partnership, so that in total, because some of those individuals are in partner churches, in total there are about 55 churches represented in our partnership. So a little way to go in reaching the 60 target. But in a sense, any number is arbitrary. It's encouraging to see that we have been growing and that we've indeed grown from the 20 or so that we started with when we launched the gospel partnership. So the Lord has been blessing us in adding to our number in the partnership. And I suppose it's good just to be reminded to have before us the question, who should join? We don't want to grow bigger just for the sake of growing bigger, but we do want to see churches joining that, in a sense, ought to be with us, that they share the same convictions, we're like-minded, we can work together, and we trust, encourage, and help them, and they can be a help and encouragement to us. So don't forget that question as you look around your area, your patch. Is there a church which you think, well, they really should be with us? Maybe we tried to get them to join us a few years ago. Well, it's like evangelism. Don't give up. Maybe it's time to go back and have another conversation, and the situation may have changed for them, or the partnership might seem more attractive now. Have the conversation again, or link them up with a member of the steering group to talk to them. So let's be continuing to think who can join us in the partnership. We also had a goal to deepen our partnership. And I think that we have seen that happening, that I sense it in the warmth of our partnership meetings, that the meetings people want to come to, seem to enjoy coming to, meetings with a good atmosphere. And what's been happening is that relationships are being built and trust has been strengthened. And in many ways, we have been growing closer together and deepening in our partnership. And because building relationship and building trust is essential for working together. And then, of course, as well as we work together, so trust and relationship gets built. Those two things go hand in hand. One of the ways that we've sought to deepen our partnership is through encouraging cluster groups. So those may be geographical in nature, partnership churches in a local area coming together in some form. Or they may be a cluster of churches with a share a similar situation. So, for instance, the leaders of some of the bigger churches amongst us meet together on a regular basis because they share very similar situations and similar challenges, opportunities, and difficulties, and they find it very beneficial to meet together and to talk together. It may be that we should be doing more for sort of encouraging those perhaps in rural situations to be meeting together. Or those in the medium-sized churches, or those who have, say, just gone into an Anglican parish that has not had a strongly evangelical ministry who are facing similar challenges. So there may be people who are in a similar situation to you in the partnership, and linking up with them, coming together, could be very beneficial. So do think about that. If you'd like to link up with somebody, you don't know who that would be, someone in a similar situation, then do talk to me or one of the steering group about that. The way the cluster groups has been functioning varies from place to place. That's bound to be the case according to geography and other commitments that people have and what is beneficial in an area. But some of the cluster groups are functioning well in praying together. Some in forming preaching groups where there can be help and encouragement in preaching and iron sharpening iron. As guys get together to help each other in their sermons. Just eating together. Eating together with wives as well, coming in together so that wives who may be feeling quite isolated in their situation can meet with other wives of church leaders and just spend some time together over a meal table. Consulting together is happening. Sharing experience and expertise and sharing in evangelism. We've seen that especially through Passion for Life and through the running of training events. So those are some of the things that different cluster groups are doing and other groups might want to follow suit and pick up on one or more of those ideas. So we've just got to keep on asking ourselves, can we do more to deepen our partnership? Maybe that is in cluster groups. Maybe it is through praying and working together. Maybe it's through pulpit swaps. One of the hard things is to make our partnership mean something to the people in our churches, not just to the leaders. And it is very hard to get people in your church, I imagine, to go to an event at another church. There seems to be massive inertia with that. It might be easier to get the leader, the pastor, the preacher from another church to come into your church, do a pulpit swap, and that at least raises the profile of gospel partnership, and they get to experience the ministry that's going on in another church. That could be one little thing that helps strengthen the sense of churches being in gospel partnership together. I think we need to make sure that we are careful that we are avoiding isolation so that we're looking out for those who look like they're getting a little bit isolated and we take the initiative to ring them up, just invite them out for pub lunch, just meet up to pray with them, whatever it is. But also, if you are getting isolated and you realize that, then don't just stay in the isolation. It's not always easy for someone else to spot that. So make sure that you take the initiative as well to link up with somebody else nearby in the gospel partnership. We need each other and we need each other to keep us going in gospel ministry. And I never know the point at which I'm going to need my brother just to keep me going. So building the relationships, not getting isolated, that's important. One thing that we want to do as a steering group is to encourage more in terms of our sharing of expertise. So we're sort of going to launch a mechanism for doing that so that we're more aware of the different areas that people have gifting, experience, expertise in, that we can make that known across the partnership. Other things like mentoring and work shadowing could be ways in which we can deepen our partnership. I better move on, otherwise I'm going to run out of time. Thirdly, our third goal was to develop and extend training across the partnership. So we've seen the development of the Tuesday course in Haywards Heath. We've now run four Saturday morning, once a month, Bible training courses in various locations. Since I took up the role, we've seen 250 people enrolling on those courses. That's a great encouragement to me, just that there are those numbers of people who have that appetite for God's word and are willing to commit the time to studying God's word and want to use it in their churches. If you want to know, I'm going to skip this. If you want to know more about the training courses, then do talk to me about that. I'll skip the encouraging quotations, but That wasn't just to blow my own trumpet. The idea was to say, actually, people do appreciate the training courses. To encourage you, to encourage people to apply and to get on the training courses. And to encourage you, as you send people, they do feel that they're benefiting. This is the time of year when we sort of do interviews with the people on the training course on Tuesdays, one by one. And it's very encouraging how much they feel they benefited from that time in God's word and feel more confident to use it in ministry in their local church setting. So just to tell you how things are moving forward, the Tuesday course will continue in Haywards Heath. The next Saturday course starts in the east, in Eastbourne, hoping to offer a third year option for those who did the course in Eastbourne last time round. The plan would be that 2015, we start a course somewhere in the west, Angering, Chichester sort of area, and then 2016, we'd be back in sort of the central area, Linfield or maybe down here, Brighton Hove area. So how can we make sure people benefit? Please don't give up on promoting the courses. I realize it's something that we're asking you to do every year. But it needs doing every year. Please don't give up on promoting the courses. Please think whether you can do more than just wave leaflets from the front. Personal encouragement, speaking to individuals about doing it, is much more effective. Use former students to advertise the course. Speak of their experience. Encourage former students to take up further training, maybe that sort of third-year option for Saturday course students in Eastbourne. Maybe for the Tuesday course, those who did year one, might come back and do year two. Spread the word to other churches nearby that maybe aren't in the partnership but could send people along. And also let me just remind you that we, as John said, he and I and others like Glenn Scrivener, Martin Povey, very happy to come and do training in your local context. And there's a portfolio of short courses available for you to pick from and to use. We had another goal to multiply the number of ministry trainees. And when I totted it up, I reckon there were currently about 15 trainees in 14 churches, and that a further 14 churches that don't have trainees at the moment have had them in the last few years, which I found tremendously encouraging, that actually that's 28 of our churches have had or do have trainees. Significant numbers of people are getting that experience. And many of them are going on. This is where you spot who you know. But these are people I could think of that I was aware that they were now in further training at Oak Hill or somewhere, or they were in some church ministry role in some part of the country. curate, youth worker, whatever it might be, and at home and overseas. These are people who've been ministry trainees in our churches, been through the training courses, who are now working for the gospel in a whole variety of contexts. So let's just be encouraged that God is using us to do that and to raise up these people and equip them for ministry. One of the big challenges is recruiting trainees. Remember that the Saturday morning we have in September called Year Out for God, which is a taster morning to inform potential trainees about what it would be like to be a ministry trainee. So anyone who might think about it, send them along to Year Out for God. I think maybe we need to be thinking about how we do more to develop student work and student links so that we can sort of increase our contact with the sort of people who might become trainees amongst us. Maybe we need to think outside the box in who is a ministry trainee. It's not just a single profile. Maybe it's the early retired person who does that, not just the recent graduate. We have wanted to develop youth work across the partnership. The Come and See training program, which is a Saturday morning every 6 months that has run for 3 years, has been well-received, beneficial, lots of people coming on that. That's been very encouraging, equipping people in our churches for Bible-centered children's and youth ministry. Sorted by the Sea has been the event for 11 to 14-year-olds that runs on a roughly termly basis. There's been the LoveWise team teaching a biblical view of sex and relationships and marriage and so on into schools as part of the school curriculum. There's been work to try and link together to network the paid youth workers. And just last week they had a day together they called Revive to give some training, some input, encouragement, and that networking opportunity. The initial three-year Come and See program is coming to an end. I would expect that to continue with a sort of a new plan for the training over the next 3 years. Let's keep on thinking about who we can encourage to those events so that they benefit from that training. Should Sorted by the Sea be replicated? That sort of event be happening in other parts of our region? Should we be expanding the LoveWise work? Could a LoveWise team be set up in another area? Are there a few people who would be prepared to take that teaching into schools regarding that vital area? What else might we be doing together to encourage good Bible-centered children's and youth ministry and serve the young people in our churches and help each other in that? Our sixth goal was to increase cooperation in evangelism, to extend effective cooperation building up to a Passion for Life 2014. We've seen that sort of thing happening, for example, with a team from All Saints Church Crowborough going to help Linfield URC run a mission weekend. And I know that All Saints Crowborough would be glad to repeat that sort of thing, a teaching weekend or an evangelism weekend or whatever the format might be. That's a great example of sharing resource to help each other in evangelism. Can more of that happen in other ways? Encouraging to hear from Graham about the things that were happening during a Passion for Life and that working together might be hard work, but it is rewarding and we can do more together than we can do individually. So this is an area where I think we can do much more thinking about how we work together effectively, other ways we might share resources, other ways we might keep working together locally, not just in a Passion for Life. Maybe that's as simple as just opening up events that we are doing in our church for other people in the local area and making sure that that's advertised well in advance so that more people can benefit from the good things that are planned and are happening. Can we make more use of Glenn Scrivener and Martin Povey, two guys who are working as evangelists? Can we make more use of them amongst us in training and in evangelism. So I think those are some of the question areas for us in that area as we move forward. And then finally, goal 7 of 7, to plant and revitalize churches. And we set ourselves the rather ambitious target of 10 churches planted or revitalized over 4 years. And if you've been around over those 4 years, you'll know that there have been challenges and disappointments in this area. But we have seen perseverance being rewarded. So we've seen Grace Church getting established in Haworth Heath after many challenges and now moving forward in terms of planting into a whole new housing development on the outskirts of Haworth Heath called Bolnall Village. Down in Bognor, Tim Crook has been multiplying congregations in his one church building and has actually doubled the number of people that are coming into that building Sunday by Sunday over a short period of time by that means. But it is an area where we've got a long way to go. And I think one of the lessons of the last few years is how we do need to be open to a variety of approaches. That as we think about this whole area, we are thinking about starting brand new churches. There'll be places where that's the thing that needs to be done. That's the only way a particular community can be reached with the gospel. But it might be about multiplying congregations in one building that will reach different demographics. It includes breathing new life into churches which are in decline. It includes restoring a gospel ministry to a gospel-less church. And all of those ways are ways in which we need to be thinking about church planting and revitalizing. And to help us in that, the Church Planting Task Group sort of took over the SGP magazine for one edition, which Wendy has been busy putting into piles for you to take home to your churches. And this edition of the magazine is focused upon church planting and the variety of different models that there are and some case studies. So Martin Lane from the Church Planting Task Group is just going to come up and do you want to have this or use the lectern mic? Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, as a member of the Church Planting Task Group, I just want to commend to you this latest edition of the SGP magazine called Partners, which, as Nick said, has been exclusively kind of given to church planting for this issue. The aim of the Church Planting Group is to encourage and support church planting by SGP churches, and we hope that this magazine will be a real encouragement and useful resource for all of us, whatever stage we're at with church planting at the moment, whether we've done a lot of thinking about it or not much thinking about it yet. It's been produced by Julian Ribera and Nick McQuaker, and it's packed full of good stuff. It's got outlines of 6 different approaches that we might take to church planting if we were thinking of doing a church plant. And to supplement that, there are real-life stories of people who are giving it a go. And they're from around the country and from within the SGP. Those stories are honest. They talk about the struggles and the disappointments as well as the joys and the encouragements. And there are some really good ideas that are shared in there. So we hope that you'll be able to make use of this. Here are some possible ways you could make use of it. Perhaps you might think of looking at it with your leadership team or your church council at your next meeting. Perhaps you might set aside a day or a half day to thinking about church planting and invite your leadership team, perhaps the whole church, and use this magazine as a resource to stimulate discussion and ideas. As you read through it, you'll see that a number of those stories are from folk here, SGP folk. Why not, on one Sunday, take one or two key people from your church and go visit them at the church plant and see it firsthand? Or if you think there's something that's particularly directly relevant to you, why not get in touch with them and ask them to come to your church and speak to your church about their own experience of church planting. Those are just a few ideas. I'm sure that as you read it through, you'll think of lots more ways that you can use that with your church. We hope it's going to be a very valuable resource for you. Nick has promised that if you need lots of copies, he'll be very happy hit the print button and send them to you. So if you can think of a useful way to use lots of copies of this with your church, please just get in touch with Nick and he'll very happily put as many copies in the post to you as you can profitably use. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. Just to say, sort of the intent is that that should be both sort of this season's magazine, but also a resource that would last us a few years into the future. So we printed some extra copies with that in mind. So it might be that a couple of years' time you're coming back and saying, actually, we could now do with a bunch of those because we want to really put church planting on the agenda for our leadership team. So do see it as a sort of resource that's around for a few years to come. Okay. Anybody want to come in? We're just going to sort of take a minute now for just any quick responses to anything I've said, anything you think is sort of a glaring omission you'd like to add. But probably we haven't got much time for that. And so I would welcome feedback over lunch or other times and so on to myself or any of the steering group. But one of the things that we need to be thinking about is what should be priorities over the next 4 years. So I've hopefully just thrown out some thoughts, some ideas, but please do contribute to that discussion, that thinking. We're asking our task group chairman to come up with some goals for their task group areas for the next 4 years. So do feed into that over the coming weeks and months as we formulate goals for where we should be going next. Anybody want to, though, respond immediately with a comment or a question?
Not my testimony, but a testimony. We talked about clusters here, and when they first were mentioned, I was fairly sceptical about them because of the nature of covering Sussex. Each cluster would have to cover a very large area, and our cluster goes from Peacehaven to, well, not quite Portsmouth, but it seems to go a long way that way. So I went along to the first cluster meeting over the road at Phil's house, not really expecting too much, but hoping to be proved wrong. I've known Phil for about 20 years because we were in Lowestoft together, and I said to him as I was coming out of the cluster, we're looking for the possibility of appointing another worker. Do you have a bright young thing at Bishop Hannington that you might spare? And he said, well, as it happens, I'm seeing someone tomorrow who might fit the bill. And they talked together, we then talked together, and over the last few months we've been exploring the possibility. And we've appointed this guy now, he's going to come and start beginning of July. What's been good is that during the conversation, it's been more than just someone available over here coming to us. It's also been a sense in which partnership has developed between the two churches. So there's a recognition that this guy is not simply going from one place to another, but there's a sense in which two churches are owning a person taking a step of faith. And now two churches are encouraging this development. So it's really a bit of a tiny Damascus Road experience testimony that clusters have worked because I think people have contact with each other, talk to each other, and things that are missing and things that are available get put together. So that's good. Yeah. Hope that's not...
That's great. Thank you, John. Yeah. So you never quite know what might happen if we talk to each other, but there are things that won't happen if we don't talk to each other. It's encouraging to hear that. One last comment or question? But do talk to me afterwards or other times as we try to think through where should we be focusing attention as a partnership over these coming years. What we want to do now is to shift the focus a little from the partnership to some local church situations, just to hear of what's happening in some different places in terms of challenges and encouragements. As it happens, we're going to hear from three churches which are in three of our larger population areas, in Crawley and in Hastings and in Brighton. So we're going to hear from Colin Jones first. Colin, if you want to come up, perhaps you can use the lectern mic, Colin. And Colin's at Three Bridges in Crawley, so over to you, Colin.
Thanks, Nick. For the coastal dwellers who may not know where Crawley is, we're just south of Gatwick Airport, so you've gone past us. Mention was made earlier of the Passion for Life meeting that took place in Three Bridges. Actually, technically it didn't, we're thrilled to say. It took place in Furnace Green, which is the next neighbouring sort of area of Crawley. Crawley's 10 areas together, took place at Richard's Church in St Andrews in Furnace Green, and we did that together as a joint venture, the first joint venture we've done. It worked really well. We were encouraged, and there's a kind of growing fellowship between us, which we trust will become a growing fellowship between our churches. And the follow-up to that, we're doing a Christianity Explored course at the moment, and that is a course that's kind of covering both churches. It's actually being done at Three Bridges, but people will be kind of directed towards either church depending on where their hearts are and what their churchmanship is. So that's actually quite revolutionary for Three Bridges. I don't know how revolutionary it is for St Andrews, but that's quite revolutionary for us. So we're kind of thrilled with that. What's going on? We have a Christianity Explored course. As I've mentioned, we have a Discipleship Explored course. And Nick will be pleased to know that we keep banging away to our church members. Courses are not what matters. They are a means to an end. We need to look to the Lord. And that was very helpful today, Nick. Thank you for that. Challenges in the church. We have all sorts of challenges in all sorts of different ways. We've got a huge ethnic diversity in the church, which reflects the ethnic diversity in the town. So in not a huge church, we probably have just short of 30 different nationalities. But there are two things we're very conscious of. One is that despite kind of determined efforts on our part, leadership in the church does not reflect the ethnic diversity of the congregation. And that is an issue to us, and there are just a couple of folk that we would want to get into the leadership, and there's a kind of a resistance there to them coming into that, and we're not, I guess if you were to come into the church, despite our kind of diversity, we still portray a very kind of Western church, and that's a real challenge to us. We want to reflect our membership more kind of accurately. But I think we're also aware that with the huge kind of numbers in Crawley, we're not really reaching those communities either. There's just been a new large, not in our area, but not far from us in Crawley, a big Islamic cultural center built, but we're not really effectively reaching Muslims. The area in which I live is on a move. It was elderly, middle-class, white people. And gradually, as they are downsizing and moving away, they're being replaced by young Asian families. So the neighbor immediately opposite is now a Sikh family. Next door to them is a Hindu family. And at the back of our back garden is another Hindu family. And that's the way the kind of area. But again, we're not sure we're actually reaching them effectively. We still have a challenge with where our church is. We have a homeless shelter just around the corner, and that causes us difficulties. As I came past this morning, there was a little encampment in our church door. There were four of them with their sleeping bags and their drugs and their alcohol and one thing and another. We get criticism both ways. We get criticism if we try and move them on. We get criticism if we kind of encourage them and leave them there. So we're kind of in a no-win situation there. But we're working closely with the open house, which is the at homeless shelter and with the police and others trying to kind of sort that. But in terms of evangelizing this, these people, it's very, very difficult, because even difficult to have a coherent conversation with them, because even first thing in the morning, they're usually quite sort of drunk. But so that's a challenge. One of the big things which we'd value your prayer for, we're looking at the future leadership of the church. My colleague Nigel over there has been with us for almost 3 years. His kind of time with us as an assistant is coming to an end, and we're exploring with him and with the church what the future has for us. So we'd really value prayer for that. Prayer for Nigel and Joe, his wife, that the Lord would guide them as to where they should be, and prayer for us as a church. There are financial challenges in that as well, but challenges are challenges. Challenges are good. Thank you, Nick.
We're going to hear from Martin Lane again about Emmanuel Hastings.
Thank you, Nick. So I'm the vicar of Emmanuel Church in Hastings, and we're an Anglican church. We have the distinction of being the highest church in Hastings. If you know the town, we're on the hill. You can see us pretty much from anywhere in Hastings. I've been at Emmanuel for just over 2 years now. I followed on from Phil Cokin, who's now at Holy Trinity in Eastbourne, and I'm very much benefiting from his hard work there over many years. In terms of encouragements, first of all, we're a small church. We're about 60 adults and a dozen or so children on a Sunday morning, but we're a growing church, both in numbers and maturity. So in terms of numbers, a few people have joined us from other churches that have closed their doors in recent years, but we also have the privilege of seeing people coming to faith at Emmanuel. Not great numbers, we're not going to make any headlines, but over the last 2 years we've had six people soundly converted at Emmanuel, principally with the help of the Christianity Explored course. But it's been a great encouragement to the church to see that God really does transform people's lives through the gospel. So that's numbers. We're also growing in maturity. Remarkably, given the size of our church, we have just under 60 people meeting in our small groups each week to study the Bible. And people are growing through that. Attendance at our church prayer meeting, monthly church prayer meeting, is growing. We had 20 along for the first time last month. It's also been a great encouragement to be members partners in the SGP and to benefit from those short courses that Nick mentioned earlier. During the last 12 months, we've had Nick over to do a Bible overview. Glenn Scrivener came and did an evangelism training day with us. John Hobbs has been over and looked at the reasons for faith with us again over 4 weeks. And those courses have been brilliant, a real help to us. Helps us to understand the gospel and to stand with confidence upon the gospel. And if you haven't taken advantage of those, I would encourage you to do so. In the past, I think it's been true that we've been a church where a small number of people have done most of the work. We haven't completely moved away from that, but we do now have a lot more people serving sacrificially in different ways in the church. And I think that that's a sign of our growing maturity as a church. The second encouragement is unity. And this really is the fruit of Phil's ministry before me. When I arrived, I came to a church that was clearly united in the gospel. Of course, we're all at different stages with different issues and needs. But at heart, we're a church in which people have great love for each other, for the Lord, and a real hunger to reach out to others with the good news of Jesus. And I've been really encouraged by the way in which the church has got behind the evangelistic events we put on. Each January, we announce a 12-month program of evangelistic events, and we ask people to look through the events that are coming up and to spot the ones that are going to be most helpful to them with their particular groups of friends and family, and to start praying well in advance for the people that they might be able to bring along as guests. And for most of those events, we've told the church that they can only buy tickets if they're bringing a non-Christian guest along. And I've been really encouraged by the little resistance I've had to that and by the number of non-Christian guests that we've had along to the event. So it's been a really great encouragement that our folk have taken that up. And again, we've been greatly supported by Glenn Scrivener and Martin Povey, who have come over and spoken very powerfully for us. And Mike Coe and Matt Williams as well have spoken for us, who are members of our SGP cluster group. So those have been great encouragements. In terms of challenges, I think I'm going to say something similar to what Colin's just said, but for different reasons. Our mission statement is to help people of our town and local community become fully committed followers of Jesus. And we're doing reasonably well at reaching out with the gospel to our town, to our families and friends who are scattered across the town. What we're struggling with is reaching out to the community on our doorstep on the West Hill, our local community. And despite the fact that many of us live on the West Hill in that community, we're struggling to really build bridges with the folk around us. It's largely an unchurched community. So as an indicator of that, perhaps, we have practically no inquiries about baptisms or weddings or funerals from local folk. Our seasonal services, Easter, Christmas, Harvest, we have very few, if any, local folk coming to. It's really only our Carols by Candlelight service that local folk come along to. And that's just an indicator that for most in our community, the church just isn't in our thinking. We've put on a number of events to try to get to know people. We've had an art and craft weekend with an art exhibition. We've had a Christmas fair, summer barbecue every year. We have a parent and toddler group. But we're struggling to really engage with our community. As well as being an unchurched community, it's also a very needy community with significant levels of social deprivation, particularly child poverty. So if I've understood the Church Urban Fund website correctly, out of 9,386 parishes in England, we rank 9,112th for child poverty. So 41% of the children living in our parish are living in poverty. And a quarter of the working age people in our parish are living in poverty, with all the related social issues that go along with that. And if I'm honest, we're not really engaging with that as a church family yet. So one of the priorities for our church council this year is to deepen our understanding of the community we live in, and to develop a strategy to engage that community with the gospel of life and hope that we have to hold out to them. And we'd be very grateful for your prayers as we go about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. And then we're going to hear from Phil Wells. Yep. Do you want to use the clicker, or do you want me to click for you? You can click. Just that one, right.
Right, he said, 1 minute to introduce the church, 2 minutes for the next, and then 2 minutes for the next. So this is the introduction. So our church is a little picture of it there. Yes, formerly Brighton Railway Mission, set up in the late 1800s to reach working people in Brighton. Our morning congregation is nowadays about 60, including kids. Our membership, being a Baptist church, our membership is considerably less than the congregation, so 27 and some more people inquiring. Of those, I counted about 12 being wage earners. We have three full-time workers working for the church, myself, young man, young lady, who will be finishing when she gets married end of June. We are situated at the end of a shopping street which is in transition from being predominantly a street for street drinking to a street where people come to drink cocktails. One of the traders showed me the prices of cocktails. I nearly fell off my chair. That was the introduction. Biggest challenges. Well, actually, the biggest challenge for me is just to keep going, keep praying, keep reading the Bible, keep doing everything, but that's not really a particularly helpful thing for me to share. The biggest challenge for the church in the last year has been to raise enough money to buy the freehold of the building. So due to the history of the railway mission and all of that, which I won't go into in these 2 minutes, we were not sure whether we would be kicked out of the building. We reached a modus vivendi, but lately it's been the opportunity to buy the building. So this is the sum of 162,500, which we reckoned would be gift days and a loan. So the gift day number one would be 40,000, gift day number two, 40,000, leaving, if I got that right, 80,000, which we would run as a sort of mortgage. The first gift day, some months ago, raised nearly £75,000, which we're very grateful for. The second gift day raised more than £50,000. So we've got much less to find than we originally thought. So that was the biggest challenge, and it's also the biggest encouragement, really, that God has provided in such an encouraging way, particularly for a small group like ourselves. Was that 2 minutes? I don't know. Biggest encouragements. Well, I put two caveats. I don't think an encouragement is necessarily the same thing as progress, because encouragement's a little bit more transient than that. And I don't think encouragement is necessarily the same thing as significance, because only time will tell. But I'll give you some encouragements recently. So the Passion for Life, we're in awe and wonder at all these events that involve masses and masses of people and butchering people, apparently, with beer. I don't know how that works at all. We decided that we would go out onto London Road, which is our street drinking, cocktail drinking high street, and give out leaflets and invite people to talk and to do this word one-to-one scheme where you offer to sit down with a cup of coffee and read a chapter of John's Gospel for an hour. And I must say, I wasn't particularly... I had realistic expectations of what would happen, let's put it that way. But actually, we were really, really encouraged by the results. So as we prayed about this, the Lord blessed us. So two friends that we'd been praying for a long, long time to come along to church actually came along the previous Sunday. So it was associated with the Passion for Life, but not directly as a result of it. And different people from the congregation, again, independently of going on to London Road, said, well, I tried what you said, and I've been reading John's Gospel with one of my friends, and so on. So that was really, really encouraging. And you put the other slide on the next click, haven't you? And we went out on London Road and had an amazingly good conversations. So I went to Eddie in the Kodak shop and said, I'm from a church around the corner. I've come to give you one of these invitations. And he said, oh, mate, he says, I'm not religious. He said, I'll tell you what, I have got a friend who's just come out of prison. He'd love to do this. So I was encouraged about that. And I went to visit Amy at the hemp workshop. Legalised cannabis is on the front door as you go in. I was treated to a very long history of cannabis and hemp and things like that. But she said, I will definitely come, which I was encouraged about. She didn't come, but I was encouraged. And the next Sunday we actually had family turn up on the basis of the leaflet, which I was amazed at, and the young lady in the family said, I'd like to come and read John's Gospel. She hasn't yet done that, but it was an encouragement. Thank you very much.
Well, it's good to hear those three particular situations. It's one of the great encouragements I have, and the privileges, is in travelling and going to different churches, just to hear what's going on and just to keep on meeting the Lord's faithful people in different places, cities, towns, villages, who are bearing witness to Christ and doing all they can to reach local communities with the gospel and finding people who are open to those conversations and hearing of Jesus. So the bones may be very dry, but the Lord has not left himself without witness, and people are responding to that witness. So let's be encouraged by that, as well as just picking up on perhaps good ideas that people have had and are finding fruitful.